بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أعنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. May Allah Tabarakallah bless the students of this madrasa and all the madaris in a time where about 100 years ago an effort was made that there must be no connection with Quran anyway in the world. When World War took place, the purpose of the war was this is the final battle against Iman and Islam. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about a 500 year period. He said, if Allah gives my nation, my ummah, that delay of 500 years, he never said 500 years, he said of half a day. He says, لَنْ يَعْجِزَ لَنْ تَعْجِزَ أُمَّتِي أَنْ يُؤَخِّرَهُ اللَّهُ نِصْفَ يَوْمٍ عِنْدَ رَبِّي. That if Allah has to delay my ummah for half a day, so Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu's son narrates this, so they ask the son, what's the meaning of half a day? He said, 500 years. If Almighty Allah is to give a delay of this 500 years to this ummah, Imam Suyuti rahimullah explains that the first part of this ummah was 1,000. And the delay was now from 1,000 to 1,500. We're living in the delay part. He said, if Almighty Allah is to give this 500 year period, my ummah will find that they will not be helpless in front of Almighty Allah. My ummah will not be helpless in front of Allah. What was indicated in this narration is there was going to be a 500 year period in this ummah, which was going to see the launch of that attack on Islam which never happened in the first 1,000. And when the 1,000 finished and we started 1,100, 1,200, three empires came up in the world. It was known as the Russian Soviet Union. It was known as the British Empire. They called it United Kingdom. So they were United Soviet Union. It was called Union United. And then there was the United States of America. Three empires. Three empires, each on its own, joined together in World War, they become the Allied forces. With World War, they break the entire Muslim world. After breaking the world, going into every country, they appoint puppets. The puppet's job is to make sure no madrasa is standing. The lead teaching of Quran was banned in these countries. Scholars were killed. Whoever was found, Russia in their own Muslim countries. If you have to visit it now, after so many years, it's opening. You will hear a person taking you underground. We visited in one country where you go underground. The front is a shop. There they have snooker tables and pool tables and table tennis and games. And then they're selling tea and it's a shop. And the children are all playing. And then you go to one door and if you just do something, suddenly you see another door. That door is like hidden. And then you go downstairs, go deep down. And now you come into a madrasa. So this was the madrasa of the past. A child normally gives away secrets very fast. Those soldiers were waiting for one child to tell them, where are the boys learning? You would get such a huge amount. But those children, despite wanting money so much, were not going to give the secret. Where you're saying it's so hard to get the child to come to madrasa. Here the Soviet Union were trying to ensure that the child doesn't go to madrasa. But Almighty Allah's call is unique. Where Allah's Nabi said, my ummah will not be ajiz in front of Allah. That young child would not give the secrets. He would go to the shop. In front, one group is playing table tennis. One group is hitting a pool ball. And he's waiting for his chance. Opposite is, you got one boy in madrasa, when can I go play pool? And here you had a boy playing pool, when can I go class? That your job is just to play until we can open the door for you. Waiting, I'll carry on playing, I want to go class. And then one group comes out, you start playing, another group is, we enter that madrasa. Said, who Allah inspired that they knew if they get caught, their ears would be cut, their fingers would be cut, they would be tortured, they would be made an example. But there was a certain feeling Allah put in them where they said, I'll die also for the deen of Allah. But if I'm going to teach, I'm going to teach these boys Quran. We went in their places, we saw how they taught Quran, and what a time. So they went around the world, they came into the Arab lands, in lands like Jordan, in Syria, teaching of Quran was banned. In Turkey, the Ottoman Khilafah was destroyed, abolished. There was a man called Mustafa Kemal. He banned Quran. Even the Adhan couldn't be in the Arabic language for a while. We met people who never ever knew how to read Quran. They said, we never learned, we weren't allowed to learn. At the time when this was the place where Quran was read the most, he banned it. There was a time when he took this Quran and he threw it on someone's face. He said, this country doesn't want you and your Quran. Take it somewhere else. He banned it. Allah Tabarakallah made it 100 years later. An entire revolution took place. 100 years from the day he took over, there was a jalsa in Turkey, Istanbul. In that jalsa, we had over 500 boys, all wearing white kurta, walking through the streets of Istanbul. Every one of them had memorized Quran. There was just one madrasa, one. They made such an effort in Palestine, in Jordan, in Syria. Quran mustn't reach the people. Just before the bombing of Gaza, some South Africans last year opened a madrasa in Gaza. It's called a Hibs Academy. So because we are friends with those people, they sent us on the day of the Jalsa. The Jalsa will be Friday after Asr. Like how we are here Friday after Asr. The Jalsa was Friday after Asr. 70 boys, girls, men, women, altogether 70 were graduating Hafiz of Quran. So they sent it to me, many of the certificates that we're going to give out. I'm looking at the certificate, the Arabic, but English was written on to explain it. Congratulations to Hafiz or Hafiza so and so on the memorization of Quran in the month July, August. It was called a 2 month Hibs Academy. In 2 months, the person who knew no Quran came to the academy. In 2 months, they memorized the entire Quran. That was one madrasa. There were many like this put up, Hibs in Gaza, Hibs Academy. July, August, then came September, October 13th, the bombing started, October 7th, October 13th, I think I got a message on my phone, that many of us who memorized Quran just a month ago have already reached Allah. That the remaining of us are finishing a Quran khatam every 3 days. Asking Allah to protect us. One, I was so happy that Allah was not going to allow those 70 to reach Him until they had memorized Quran. Until they had memorized it. Then I thought, how were they able to memorize it in 2 months? And then I thought, in a country where the enemy made so much effort, Quran must be lifted. Even in that country, with all their difficulties, all their tensions, all their problems, I looked at that madrasa is bombed. But that madrasa was put up at a time where the whole world had had sieges on the people of Gaza. And they put up a huge madrasa. And then they thought of these camps. And then they were able to get results in only 2 months. And then you understood the promise of Allah. That this ummah in that 500 year period, at the end of this 500 years, you won't find them helpless in front of Allah. We are reaching the end of that 500 years, where the United States, the Soviet Union, United Kingdom, and all their puppets made an effort that Quran must not reach any person. But everywhere in the world you go, there's just this jalsa, and that jalsa, and that jalsa, and this Quran is reaching everyone. Now with the bombing in Gaza, this Quran had reached Muslims already. With the bombing in Gaza, this Quran is now reaching non-Muslims. And it is going at what a speed, what a speed. They're finding it on the internet. The one person said, Quran forced me into Islam. Quran forced me. Jews are speaking about how Quran pulled them. Thieves are speaking about. My brother had a jalsa the other day in Day Madrasa in Hyderabad. So the boy graduated, he completed Mishkat. So they told him to speak, because he spoke of his own life, he won't even say it, ghibat, like he was proud about it. He spoke about his life. Some of the teachers never even know about his life. Some of them said, if we knew about you, we wouldn't have shouted you in class. Like, what you went through. The boy is speaking, he said, you know me, I was a good Christian once upon a time. Good Christian. And then I met friends who took me into drugs. So then I became a bad Christian. Then with drugs I started stealing, I ended up in jail. In jail I met Muslims. He said, but those Muslims were as bad as me. The only thing I knew, they're Muslim. Like, what Muslim? You Muslim. I came out of jail. He said, after jail I've given money, robbing again, robbing. Entered this house of an old man. He said, this man is so poor that in his house I'm looking and I'm thinking that is it right for me to steal from this person? Because there's nothing in the house. He says, but in the ending as I'm walking out, I say, but never mind, at least his pillow and his duvet. That was the only thing he could steal. He said, I stole the duvet and the pillow also. Then as he's walking out, he said, there must be something, man. The man can't have nothing. So he looked at one cupboard, he said, in the cupboard something. So he goes to the cupboard. In the cupboard is what we call a translation of Quran. Quran made easy. I'm sure many of you heard Quran made easy. It's a very easy translation of Quran. So he said, I saw this blue kitab here, Quran made easy. That man who's stealing money for drugs, he thought, maybe I can sell this here also. So he takes this here, he says, I wonder what the value of this. He opens it. He says, he reads the translation of Bismillah. Now I, when I heard this, I thought to myself, how many times I read Bismillah, but it never affected me like it affected a non-Muslim drug addict. He said, he's reading Bismillah in the name of Allah, the Most Kind. And he's saying that, what book is this? Which book starts like this? He says, look at it again, like, then he turns, who's the author of this book? In the name of the Almighty. He says, Almighty. When you hear the man saying it himself, it's something else, like. Then he says, he starts reading Surah Fatiha. And he's just shivering. Because think of Quran, it's not a normal novel. Once upon a time, far, far away, they loved one man. Quran doesn't start there. Quran, in the name of the Almighty. All praise belongs to Allah, Master of the universe. Quran starts like that. King of the day of Qiyamah. Quran starts. He says, you're reading, reading, the next he started, Alif Lam Mim, Zalikal Kitab. This is the book in which there's no doubt. You have to understand this person when he's reading, and he's shivering as he's reading the first surah, and he's asking himself, what book is this? And then he reads the next page, this is the book in which there's no doubt. Says when that verse came, this is the book in which there's no doubt, he just closed it. And he said, I need this. I need this. He said, I stole Quran, made easy also. He said, I went home, and I'm sitting on my bed, stolen bed also. And he said, so he's telling the people, it was this Quran that brought me here to the madrasa. Said, no one gave me love. Just read it, and I read it, and I read it. Translation of Quran. Not Quran, translation. This Quran is going everywhere. Around the world it's going. And this Quran has reached me and you also. It is the kindness of Almighty Allah. As was promised, they can make what effort they want. There was a time in recent years that our people, our children could not read Quran. There was not fluent Quran like today. I entered in the Jalsa, one boy was reading Surah Yusuf. So as I heard him, I said, I'll speak about Surah Yusuf. So beautiful. Then I sat down, then the second boy gave a bayan. He gave a very beautiful bayan. When I heard his bayan, I was feeling like maybe he should give the bayan instead of me. So well done, mashallah. I'm sure if they tell you give 1 hour, then it is not so easy. Lot of practice, but inshallah your day will come. My first bayan I gave to a wall. So I met one friend. So he used to give, I went one day, I was walking in the madrasa, and I heard a bayan on the roof. So like, you think, hey, it's an angel here. On the roof, who gives bayan? Walking, walking, I see my friend giving a bayan to the sky.
So for me, rather a joke, like you're giving a bayan, who's listening? So he said, no, from when I came, my teacher taught me you must speak your bayan to no one. And you must say it so many times. And then he said, Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib used to do that. He used to go into the forest and give his one bayan to this tree and that tree and that tree. So he said, me, I give my bayan to the sky. But he was a very good speaker. That boy was a very good speaker from another country. And I used to like his bayan. So it affected me. So I said, okay, I'll give my bayan to the wall. So I wrote a small bayan. Very small. Now I'm walking in the madrasa to find one class with no one. And no one will come. Every class you're looking like now. Then you go close to the wall. And I started giving my bayan, 3 minute bayan. And then the law is you must give it. Like how archery, they tell you when you do archery, shoot from close. And if you get your target, then move back a little bit and shoot the same arrow. And then move back and then again shoot. So you have to get your target. Many a time a person from far wants to shoot, you're going to miss. You're definitely going to miss. In Afghanistan, when we visited, they gave us a chance to shoot. So some of us had shot in the past. It was very easy. We knew how to shoot. It's a very nice gun sent from America as a gift. So they're enjoying the guns. So you can't even ask them, is bullets expensive? They said, you know, all are free. All are free. They found enough. So they shoot, 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 shoot. So some of us knew how to shoot little. So at least they had a target. And they had a big wall. So the target's on the floor. You must shoot on the floor to hit the target. But some people who never know how to shoot now, they were expecting the recoil of the gun. And if it doesn't recoil and you move, you're definitely going to shoot up. So my one friend shot, so he never hit the target, he never hit the wall also. So I asked the person, like, where is bullet? He said, no, went over the wall. I said, over the wall? I said, what's on the other side of the wall? He said, no, like, there's villages. I said, how can you let him shoot here? He said, no, I've got one friend standing there, and he's checking up to make sure no one comes in front. I said, this is Afghanistan. They were so used to shooting, that the time came where some of them had to be given guidance. When they conquered and they destroyed and defeated America, on the first day they were so happy, some of them lifted up their guns and they shot in the air. Not thinking that a bullet that goes up has to one day come down. The government passed a law, if anyone is found shooting one bullet in the sky, his gun will be taken away and he'll never get his gun back. Because although no one passed away in that, there were a few people who actually got injured. The bullet came back and hit someone. But what I'm trying to say is, the man who never shot a gun, you don't start him from far. You take him close. So he understands what's happening. It can't go over the wall. A bayan also is never started 1 hour. It started 1 minute. And it's never begun with the whole group in front. It's begun with no one in front. Our children must be taught how to read Quran. They must be taught how to speak. When this boy spoke, you could see the confidence he had. When these boys read, you can see the confidence. This is the nature of our madrasas, that we're producing such unique students. But if you just go back a few years, you will see that even if you had to ask for one hafiz, an old man, to come on the musalla, his tajweed was not good at all. Yet he was called Qarisa. He was called Qarisa. And in a 20-year period, South Africa saw such a change that if today that same Hafizab is put on the Musalla, the young child will start grinning, laughing. They say he doesn't read properly. But just 20 years ago, he was the Imam of the Masjid. People used to travel far to listen to his Quran. Why? Because in this ladder, in getting better and better and best, there is no limit. That's what I'm starting on. What I'm going to now say is, we have reached such a high level, but is it the limit? There's no limit. Where we have now come is the time now to make the next step. Where something which we thought impossible is now becoming possible. But it needs someone to make one step further, and I'll say, I'll get the next step. So that in the next 10 years, if a boy comes in front and he reads Quran and he's in the Hafiz class and he does not know the meaning of what he's reading,
Everybody else picks up and says, he doesn't know what he's reading. He doesn't know. May Allah make it that we see in the next 10 years in this country, such a change in our HIFS classes, in our maktabs, in our madrasas, that every small child, I went to one country in Africa, Nigeria. Before I started, the young boy was told to read Quran. Very young boy. Allah made it, I just turned this page and that verse came out which he read. He's reading Surah Qaf. He's reading about Jahannam. When every person will come on that day, and it will be said to him, لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا, that how did you forget about this world? You were oblivious of the year after. Now we have lifted up the veil from your eyes. Now you can see very well. Look. And then it will be said, now is the time to throw in Jahannam every person who was not ready to believe, everyone who was stubborn. Those who had made partners with Allah, throw them into a severe punishment. Then the people will start arguing. It will be said, لا تختصموا لدي, stop your arguments. I had given you the warning long time, you never heard. Now the law is, ما يبدل القول لدي, my decision will not change. وما أنا بظلام للعبيد, and remember, I'm not oppressing you, Allah will say. Said, you brought yourself into the fire. This boy is reading. As this boy is reading, his iman is lifting. His iman, young boy, but he's not reading like how our children read. That they got a beautiful tone. But because they don't know what they're reading, where they have to cry, they won't know. And where they have to be smiling, they won't know. But this young boy, in his reading, you can understand he knew what he's reading. And now he's reading with fear, so much of fear, that when he comes to the next verse, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمْ, on that day when we will say to Jahannam, Halim Talati, that are you now full? You got enough? And Jahannam will say, I want more people. What about him? وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِن مَزِيد, Jahannam will say, I want more. To see a young boy reading Quran, and he reads, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمَ هَلِمْ, and he stops. And then I just looked up and I saw this boy is crying. Small boy. And then he tries a second time, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمَ هَلِمْ تَلَى, and he can't carry on. And then the Ustad said something and the boy just said, Sadaqallahu al-Azim. And he went away and he was wiping his tears. At that moment I say, what our children need is what this boy wants. I visited the land close to the Syria border, where many of these children are those who had seen their fathers martyred when Bashar al-Assad waged his war in the lands of Syria. I asked the teacher about the boys and how does he keep them motivated. So he said two things, Quran and nasheed. Nasheed, nazam. Nazams of standing up for the deen. He says they read the nazams and they just get that Islamic fervor. He said, Quran. He said, Quran is a unique talk to the child. What I cannot explain to the child, he said, Quran explains to him. So after I went out, the boys were playing. They were playing one game. We played with them. Very young, amazing children. Even if you don't know their language, you can talk to them. Love is a thing that doesn't need language. Many of us in the group never know Arabic. These boys never know English. But love is a thing that they became so close, so close. Person who got no father, for him every man is his father. Just looking at someone to hug. One young boy came and he sat next to us while we were having the meal. He said, can I sit here, chef? So the man said, no, you go sit there. I said, no, let him sit here. We want to meet these boys. Young boy, but so mature. He said, can I sit here? He sat. Then my one friend said, ask him, like, because they're all the sons of martyrs. So he asked the question, ask him, like, does he remember his father? Not a very nice question to ask. So this boy starts, he says, my father disappeared. My mother said, go look for your father and your uncle. Group of us went out. Then we came to one hole, like a ditch. In there was my uncle martyred, my father was martyred. Our job was to pull them out. So he's explaining to us how they were pulling them and then how they were tortured and what he saw. As he's saying this here, the person who asked the question, they started crying. So this young boy looks up at them because he saw that. So he got a, like, in shock, this young boy is looking at them crying or wanting to cry. And he said, like, Sheikh Shahada. That, like, my father was a martyr. And you crying about it. That small boy says, Shahada. For us it was an honor. I took my father home to say, Mummy, there he got martyrdom. The Shahada. To see that boy. So I asked, how you motivate him? He said, Quran. So I called one boy. I said, like, you know Quran, read Quran. He said, no, my friend is very nice, call him. So this boy comes. I said, read Quran, what you want to read? As he starts reading, the whole group with him are moving with his reading. They're moving. What he's reading, in the time of Musa alayhi salam, there was Firaun. Firaun killed enough children. And then Firaun wanted to kill Musa alayhi salam. But in the house of Firaun, in the family of Firaun, there was someone affected. Like how at the moment in the Gaza war, people in the houses are now speaking out. In the parliaments are now speaking out. Some of them already got iman. They just can't take it on their tongue. They already got iman. When Allah makes it, it's already in the heart. It's just waiting for the day. Just waiting. There was a time in India, there was a man called Akbar. There were some scholars, hypocrites, who told him 1,000 years have passed of this ummah. I mentioned to you, after 1,000 years, the next 500 was very hard. Even in India. They said to him, 1,000 years have passed from the religion of the Arabs. After every 1,000 years, Allah brings a new religion. They said, times have changed. There's a need for a new religion that unites the Hindu with the Muslim. So he created his own religion. It's called, he called it Deen-e-Ilahi or the Deen of Akbar, where the Hindu and the Muslim must be together. The religion of the Muslim must accommodate the Hindu. And he made a mess up of religion. Any scholar who opposed him was going to be locked up. Scholars were quiet and the whole religion in India. Something to think about. Many of us came from India. India went through that time where there was no picture of Islam in India. One scholar was locked up from the jail, what we refer to today as Mujaddid Al-Faisani, Sheikh Ahmed Sirhindi. From the jail he is writing letters to different ministers. Your responsibility for the country, your responsibility for the country. A day comes where the leader, one of the main people, he speaks to his minister and he tells his minister, what do you think about this? We'll go back today, Juma time, we spoke about the Mongols. The Mongols attacked Islam. Then a time came where one man was walking and one of the Mongolian princes caught this man. He became upset with the man. He said, how dare you walk in my hunting field? I'm hunting, you want me to kill you? So this man says, like, if you want to kill me, kill me. So he says, who's better, you or the dog? That's how these Mongols would talk. You are the dog. So he wants the man to say, no, your dog is better than me. Because if they are better than your dog, you're better than my dog, kill him. But the sheikh gives a unique answer. He says, it's got to do with my death. At the moment, I don't know how I'm going to die. If I die with this faith which I have at the moment, then it will mean I'm better than your dog. But if I have to die and this faith is taken out of me, then your dog is better than me. This prince who was a prince who had slaughtered so many Muslims was shocked at this answer. He said, what is this faith you talk about? And this man speaks to him. The prince just keeps quiet and he says that at the moment I can't make a decision. But if ever I become the leader, then you must come back at that day, we'll sit and talk. And then this sheikh goes away. When the sheikh is passing away, he calls his son. He says, you know, once upon a time I met this prince. I think after I pass away, he is going to become the leader. If he does become the leader, you will go to him somehow or the other. You will remind him of this meeting and this promise he had made to me. You will go. The sheikh passes away. This prince becomes the leader. The son tries to meet. It takes very long for him. A time comes when he goes near to the palace. He starts Fajr time giving adhan. The adhan gets the ear of now the leader. He says, who's that man irritating me? They go out. They ask, what you going to do? They normally want to kill him. But Allah puts something in their heart and they drag him to the prince. Now the king, leader. And when he comes there, he just says, so you remember once upon a time you met my father? So many years ago, the person can't even remember. He starts speaking. He looks at him, he says, keep quiet, come in my room. He goes, they sit in the room, talking. Then this leader says, okay, go out, I will make a decision. So what I want to explain to you is this point. He calls his closest minister. He says, you know, I have a feeling of accepting Islam. What do you think about it? The minister says, my leader, I have already accepted Islam. It was just that I was not ready to tell you. He calls another minister. That minister says, I had already accepted Islam. Those ministers in India also, they had already understood what's right, only they could not take it out. At the present moment in the world, there are non-Muslims who have already accepted Islam. They are sitting in parliament. It's already there, they just can't say it. But the time comes where you have to say it. That young boy comes in front now, he's reading to me one verse. I will translate these verses. This is not Quran, this is translation. I want you to relate with how this boy is reading. In his life, he saw a man called Bashar al-Assad. Bashar al-Assad for him was Firaun. He killed children. He had women's honor taken. He had men killed in numbers. He had his boy's parents killed, tortured. Bashar al-Assad is Firaun for him. And for him, he is the man who's speaking to Firaun, this boy. So he starts reading. So he's not reading like our normal boy with a beautiful tone. When he's reading, his voice is going up. Then his voice is going down. Then he's becoming stern. He reads, when the believing man from the family of Firaun, who was up till now hiding his iman, starts speaking. And he says, أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا. Well, you kill people just because they say, Allah is my Rabb. But he's not speaking to Firaun. He's speaking to Bashar al-Assad. He's saying, you kill my father just because he said, Allah is my Rabb. أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَن يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. Whereas so many proofs he has brought to you. Then the boy carries on. He said, يَا قَوْمِ لَكُمُ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. O my nation, remember that today maybe you are the kings. ظَاهِرِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And you got power on the land. فَمَنْ يَنْصُرُنَا مِنْ بَعْثِ اللَّهِ. But who will help us from the punishment of Allah when that punishment comes? This boy is not reading like a tune. He's speaking to Bashar al-Assad and the Syrian army. You all got kingdom today. ظَاهِرِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. You got the weapons. You killed my father. But when Allah's punishment comes, who's going to help? The boy carries on. He says, O my people, inni akhafu alaykum. I fear for you the day when the punishment is going to come. A punishment that destroyed the nations of Nuh and Ad and Thamud and so many who came after them. He said, I fear for you a day when everyone will be crying, Yawm al-Tanad. When everyone will be running, مَا لَكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ عَاصِمٍ. And there will be no one to protect you on that day. As this boy is reading, the sheikh said, this is how these boys take out their pain. They take it out with Quran. On that day, it was my second time when in my heart it came, that our children also need to read Quran like this. We have reached a very high level, Allah's kindness. We have taken the meaning of Quran to a level solid. Tajweed is unique, where that boy you would have said, you studied Quran, qiraat. He said, no, he learned it in the his class. He said, you read like a qari. So high. Quran. In the books they explain Quran is the word and a fantastic word, and it is the meaning of the word. The collection of the word and the meaning makes someone called Ahlul Quran. You are the person of Quran. Collection of the word and the meaning of the word. Every boy who is graduating today, everyone who graduated as a Hafiz of Quran, whether you memorize the entire Quran, or you memorized one surah, so you Hafiz of one surah, or one juz of Quran, man, woman, girl, boy, every one of you, you can now start a journey where I will take it one step further. Allah gave me the ability to read Quran, which is the harder. I now need to make a slight effort on the easy one, that what I am reading, even if it's a small amount, I must know the meaning of that. And then I will read it, and I will read it, and I will read it until I start crying with it. When that will happen, the inspiration an orphan can take, which makes him independent of having a father to put his hand and say, "Oh my son, don't worry, I'll look after you." That orphan reads this verse of Quran and he hears my Allah saying, "You will be looked after." That inspiration which the non-Muslim could take when reading Bismillah, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ, this is a book in which there's no doubt. When the boy was reading Surah Yusuf, I entered, I said, "I'll translate Surah Yusuf." Then the next boy came and he read another verse. I said, "I'll translate this verse." At that time it came in my heart, let me just tell the people, our children no longer need translation. They need to be reading Quran, knowing what they're reading. So when that boy is doing Surah Yusuf in class, as he's reading to his teacher, he's learning the words, he got the tajweed. At the same time, he translated the language. He got his 6 lines, his sabak. He goes now and he's repeating his sabak. He's repeating his sabak. He's repeating his sabak. His ustad gave him a slight explanation. In a few minutes, I will explain to you some parts of Surah Yusuf. You yourself will understand, if my youngster only gets Surah Yusuf, only gets Surah Yusuf, it will be sufficient for him from the fitan, the trials of the entire era. Only Surah Yusuf. Ahsanul Qasas. It is mentioned, what a unique incident. Why? Because it covers the child from the day he is the pampered boy in the house. And he takes him to the heights of power. And he teaches him in every part of your life, behave like Nabi Yusuf a.s. If a boy had learned the surah, and a ustad had explained to him, this is the sabak, this is the lesson, this is the sabak, this is the lesson, and that boy then goes in the world. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam's story, incident starts in unique Quran. Allah tabarakala says, "Tilka ayatul kitabil mubin." These are the verses of a book that makes everything clear. It will explain your entire life. You don't need someone to give you lessons in psychology. You don't need to have in a school. My one friend, they run a Muslim school. They paid one person. His job is to be what you call psychiatrist, counselor. So he has to counsel. Every day someone wants to miss class, he just has to say, "I got too much tension." So he gets a chance to go counselor. The counselor told me, "I'm getting headaches with these people. So now I'm going to put a charge. First counseling session is free. You come second time, you pay." He said, because children just want to take off from class. And they know my job is to listen to their stories. He says, some of the stories I think is made up also. So that boy just doesn't want to be in class. So he says, "I got tension. I want to go see the counselor." He comes out, he starts, same story. If you want to ever hear stories, husband and wife, bring them together. They're fighting. They say, "We want a Molana to listen to our story." Last thing, you must be ready to listen to someone's story. That story will put you in depression also. You were smiling yesterday, all night you will be worrying. Next day you ask, "Where's uncle and auntie?" He said, "They gone for Umrah together." "Say, I never sleep all night. They went home, they kissed, made up, they gone Umrah next day. My whole sleep went away." He said, "Two people, go sort out your own problems." And where you sort it out? Tell them, go in an aeroplane. And the aeroplane starts shaking. If ever you saw that, One friend said they were in that aeroplane where it started shaking. So first thing a Muslim does is he reads Kalima. What's the second thing? The wife who never ever said sorry, say sorry. Hand in hand, she says, you promise you forgive me for whatever I said. Woman never ever say sorry. The aeroplane starts shaking, all the sorries come out. All the sorries. Take that person in a land where just on the other edge you hear a bomb falling. And tell them, fight tonight. Then you read tonight, Kalima, Subhanallah, one holding the other, one bomb, the other one hugging. All our problems have come because we're too comfortable. Because we're too comfortable, man starts fighting about trivial issues. Trivial issues. When Quran will come back in life, it will teach you, you've got a lot of things. You've got to study the meaning of Quran. Your wife must be studying, you must be studying. She must be reading, getting her answers. You must be reading. You must be seeing Jahannam in front. You must be seeing Jannah in front. And at the moment in South Africa, by the kindness of Allah, I am seeing that next step starting. I am seeing it starting. I invited to a madrasa of ours, one Sheikh of South Africa, Morana Yusuf Biko. And I advise you people to also invite him to your madrasa. In South America, he had to work in a place where the Arab, his grandfather or great-grandfather had the papers that he is from the family of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu. But that grandchild or great-grandchild is only Muslim by name. He just knows that they got the paper. He went into a country like that where they had no relationship with Islam. They brought students to the madrasa for a weekend or 10 days or 5 days. Those students, after a few days, wanted to hit the teachers. Teachers are standing up protecting each other. They said, we never knew students can break walls. We saw it there. They broke walls of the madrasa. Imagine what madrasa you got where your students are breaking. He says that student complained so much he complained, that the mother told the father, go and bring him back. That boy had traveled for 48 hours. Now they say, father must go bring him. The father landed up. He said, I came to take my son because the mother said he's complaining too much. They called the boy. The boy said, I don't want to go. He said, in a few days, the boy's whole thoughts changed. The father said, I came so fast, I'll hit you now. The boy said, I don't want to go. Finally, they could tell the boy, you have to go. That boy went. Soon as he went, he said, from Palestine, because these people have family in Palestine. From Palestine, because they got madrasas in Palestine. From Palestine, they get the message that their family member in South America, a family who know nothing about Islam, this boy who was breaking walls and phoned his father, I don't want to be here. In a few days, he changed so much. As soon as he goes back, he's giving adhan in the masjid. That adhan is sent to Palestine. This boy knows adhan. The boys never knew adhan. They sent from Palestine the message to him, that our family member in South America is giving adhan. They're so thrilled. Imagine how low they were. He started a system called Muzakara of Iman to young children, our young children. That is why we reached the stage, this is not the final, we have to go higher. And I want all you people to go higher. He reached the stage where he started a talk of Iman. He came to the madrasa, he did it with the students. I was amazed, it's so simple, so simple. But everyone is saying, Subhanallah. In that he explains that you will take one verse of Quran, you will think of the meaning, you will ponder about it. He said, now I want you in your salah, in your last rakat, it's your nafal salah, you will read this verse, you will think of the meaning, you will read it a second time, you will read it a third time, a fourth time. He said, how many times must you read it? He says, until your heart is content, then go into ruku. Results of it. A girl is very sick, small girl, very ill. Medicine is brought. Her mother brings the medicine. They got no deen. The girl, the mother says, take this medicine. The girl says, first I need to speak to the medicine. The mother says to the child, how you speak to your medicine? The child says, my teacher taught me this. So the mother said, you and your teacher are nuts. Take the medicine. The child said, I will not take the medicine. Mother said, okay, speak to the child. He says, oh medicine, you will not be able to give me cure except with the command of Allah. And then the child says, mommy, I can take the medicine. The mother was shocked at the sentence. The way you learn this, that mother then came to learn in the madrasa. They saw a small girl walking, two small girls. One man who's like a little, not right in his head, rough person comes in front. He messes up. So like you see a gangster coming. Two small girls walking. They see this gangster. The one girl gets a little scared. He says, let's run. The other girl says, rather let us negate his power by saying, La ilaha illallah. That he cannot do anything except with the will of Allah. Both girls, the teacher says, they never knew I was not far. He says, I see two girls, both start reading, La ilaha illallah. As they're going closer to the person, they're going louder, louder, louder. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. This gangster gets scared of these two. And then he starts walking away from them. When this person said, I saw those two girls, he said, my mission is working. But the young child got such a level of iman on such a small change that was made in the madrasa, a very small change of a few minutes. That's one change that I want to come in all our madaris. It is called the dars of iman to every child, which Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, we learned iman, then we learned Quran. And while learning Quran, our iman increased. The second change I want to come is, as he explained, take one verse, this is the meaning. I don't want it only to be one verse and one meaning. May Allah make it that the time comes when the child reads and the system is not difficult. To be a alim, you have to know the deep meaning of Quran. But for the general person, you have to know the basic meaning of Quran. I will give you a translation. Basic meaning of Quran, Surah Yusuf. We will go very fast through the surah, but what a long surah. Think of this meaning, and then think, if I had taught my child this lesson, it would never have such an impact as when Allah is teaching my child a lesson. My child will read it. In his life, you're going to have brothers and sisters who are jealous. Surah Yusuf will tell you what to do. In life, you will have a time where you will be taken away from your luxury. Things might change in the world. Or your parents may pass away. Surah Yusuf will tell you what to do. In your life, you will grow up where there will be a pretty girl. She will bring herself to you. Surah Yusuf will tell you what to do. In your life, power and wealth will come to you. Surah Yusuf will tell you what to do. But who it will tell, that boy who reads, and he reads, Allah Tabarakallah says, and look how the kitab, the surah starts. Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiyan. We reveal this Qur'anan, something that has to be read again and again and again. Arabiyan, in the Arabic language. La'allakum ta'qilun, so that you can get the message. Think of this. Qur'anan, read again and again, and again. Arabiyan, in the Arabic language, meaning not the translation. La'allakum, then you will get the message. So we are reading it again and again and again. Arabiyan, we're reading it in the Arabic language. Why are we not getting the message? Because the boy doesn't know what that Arabic means. He just needs to be told, and it means this. A basic change, and it's not difficult. And this is what we are now trying in our madrasa. That every boy, whether he's hafiz already, whether he's starting hifz, his journey of Quran must go together with meaning. And I saw where it's working. I saw young boys finished hifz of Quran and he's able to translate for me 15 juz of Quran. That young boy will have such a level of maturing which our normal child won't have. Surah Yusuf, when the boy will read, he will read, remember when Yusuf alayhi salam said to his father, I had seen 11 stars. I had seen the sun and the moon, everything making sajda to me. Like how a normal boy loves to run around and tell his friends, see my new phone, see my new phone. Immediately the father says, Ya Bunayya, la taqsus ru'yaka. Oh my son, don't tell your brothers about your dream. Because they're going to hate you. When the boy will read this, you will not have to tell the boy later on, don't advertise. Don't put yourself on Twitter. Don't put yourself on Facebook. Don't go for a holiday and take pictures and show your friends, see where I'm going. Because instead of them smiling, فَيَكِيدُ لَكَ كَيْدًا, they will hate you. They will become jealous. He said, hide it from your brothers. Your greatness will come if you remain hidden. Expose yourself, you will collapse. I can say it in a bayan one time, the boy got that addiction. We saw boys that they're addicted to take pictures of anything. They'll take picture of biryani in front of them, picture of juice in front of them, everywhere they go. I saw one girl in hijab when I was in Turkey. She's taking a picture of herself by the water. Why I looked is because I'm seeing this girl walking backwards. And I thought maybe she'll take one more step and she's gone in the waters. But all she was worried about, take my picture. At that time I also thought, that girl, you in hijab. So even if the picture is taken, you can't really say to my friends, this is me. They can say, no, it's another auntie. Like you're not even, you're taking a picture of someone covered, but that feeling, I must be noticed. The one who will read Surah Yusuf will lose that feeling. That I don't want to be noticed. Because, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Remember, the devil is your enemy. As the boy will read, he will see how the brothers pull Yusuf alayhi salam away from his father. They push him into a well. Yusuf alayhi salam is all alone. He will read, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا. That if someone has oppressed you today, don't worry. We send the message to Yusuf alayhi salam. Remember, life is not only the present, there's a future also. A time will come where the tables will turn. The one who knocked you today, one day will have to stand in front of you. Yusuf alayhi salam got this alone in the well, and it was this verse that made him calm. And now alone in the dark well, one verse is playing. That this is the present, the future is still coming. The people of Gaza, when they are hearing bombs falling, what do you think keeps them going? It is Quran. He said, one day these enemies will be in front. One day. And they're waiting. If you are Yusuf alayhi salam, reading Yusuf alayhi salam's story, then you will see now taken out of the well. And now you brought. Where you see problems in life, Yusuf alayhi salam is brought like a slave. He's brought like a slave into Egypt. He's going to be sold in the slave market. Where you see problems in life, Surah Yusuf will tell you, many a time what you think is a problem, don't fall in depression. That could be the beginning of your happiness. One friend of mine, he became an alim. So he says that actually what happened, I was writing my final exam. And I had so much of hope, I will finish and I will become this and I will become that, and I failed. Failed. He knew he failed. Either you go in depression, harder than you worrying about you failed. How you tell your father who spent so much money, you failed. So the best thing is to say, I'm going 4 months jamaah. Because when the report comes home, I'm not at home. In 4 months jamaat, his whole life changes. He comes back, he's not bothered about becoming what he wants to become. He got another mission in life. He graduates as an alim. He says, my life changed in what? In failure. What I saw as the major calamity in my life was the opening up of my life. Yusuf alayhi salam enters as a slave. He's going to be sold in the slave market. He's going to be made to clean the toilet. He's going to be made to look after the horse. As he enters, the one who purchased him in Misr, he says to his wife, أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ, I want you to look after this boy. وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. In this manner we made life so comfortable for Yusuf. He will read it. He will realize there's never a need to fall in depression. Because what's the problem in life could actually be the door opening. The boy will read Surah Yusuf. He will read, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ. When he reached his age, like what we will say, you now became baligh. Now life changes. Yesterday a young boy, in the past you would say a 17-year-old boy. Nowadays our boys already are 11 or 12. They are already talking of girl stories. 11, 12 because of what they are watching. Young boy. You see when a girl walks past, young boy, even if he got no hair, he'll still comb his hair. Even if he got no hair. It's just like natural, I must be smart. He overdoes it. Girls supposed to worry about looking smart. Boys mustn't worry too much. But the young boy, he wants to be smart. I saw a boy today. Like he had his watch. So for him, the watch now is, that's why it's called a watch. That you watch it more than you see the time. That the purpose is not time. Because when that boy needs to know the time, he doesn't look at his watch. What he does? He takes out his phone. He forgets he got a watch. So what he got the watch for? Because the watch is smart. It's to tell the girl in front, it's not my watch. It's my watch. So I saw him wearing that watch. That watch was so big for the hand, but because it, the name. But when he needed to see time, I saw him pull out his phone. To show that the watch was not there. The boy who reads Surah Yusuf will understand as he starts getting desire. He can't speak to his ustad now. He can't tell his ustad, you know that one girl there. Like, I got a feeling. Especially if it's Mawlana Yusuf, then I'm sure he can't tell. Then that boy is not going home after school at all. Not at all. Who will he speak to? Quran. He will say, even Yusuf alayhi salam had this issue. He wasn't safe also. But he never go front, the girl came to him. He will read, وَرَاوَتَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. He was in her house, the one whose house he was in, now she started again and again. رَاوَتَتْهُ. The boy will read it, I'm Yusuf. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. She closed the doors. And she said, come now. And Yusuf alayhi salam said, مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. That Allah, I ask you to put me in your protection. This boy now doesn't know what to do. He'll read this. He'll start reading salah. In his salah, he won't read ma'az Allah one time. Because he is Yusuf. He will read ma'az Allah. And he'll read it a second and a third. And he'll start crying. Now Yusuf Biko mentioned, I want you to read the verse so much of Quran that it becomes a dua. You will read the verse so much it becomes a dua. So you will read ma'az Allah, ma'az Allah, ma'az Allah. And after that salah, you will find you in the protection of Allah. Said Yusuf alayhi salam said, Allah, I need your protection. Allah tabarakullah said, Lawla arra'a burhana rabbi. That had Yusuf alayhi salam not seen the power of his Allah, the proof of his Allah, meaning had he not recognized his Allah, Yusuf would also have gone to the girl. The boy will read this. And he will say, Allah, I saw you. I saw your power. I'm reading your Quran. At that time, Yusuf alayhi salam goes away from the girl. You have to be that Yusuf. He runs. Then the woman get together and say, we'll put you in jail. We'll put you in jail. Ask the people of Gaza who are living in an open prison. How are you surviving? Maybe they're the Yusuf of the era. But Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says, As-sijnu ahabbu ilayya. That you are inviting me to something which I can never accept. I'd rather go to jail. Who will ever say this? I'd rather go to jail. Someone who reads Quran. In Afghanistan, I met a friend. Means he became a friend after I met him. I met someone who became very close to. After becoming very close, I asked him, when you were in jail, how you survived? He said, I entered into prison at the time where America stopped torturing, physical torture, because there was too much media coverage. Guantanamo Bay was now closed, so they could only punish them in this prison because his was Hellman. Or perhaps they could take them to America in a high security, so they would always threaten them, we'll take you to America, take you to America. But otherwise they put him in a prison, so they say mental torture. Mental torture, they put you in one small wall, room. Wall, and you will sit with your legs up, you can't really move. and you got one bottle. If you have to urinate, you must urinate in the bottle. So if you have to go for stool once a day, they take you out on a certain time every day. You must do your number two, your stool at that time. After this, during the day, don't you dare think of going, you'll have to do it where you sit in. Your body has to say, I'll wait for tomorrow. Only urine, and when you urinate in that bottle, and that bottle will be next to you. You think it's easy. Now there's no light coming in, so you don't know if it's daytime or nighttime. It's supposed to make you mad. You're not speaking to anyone. You don't know whether it's Fajr, Zohar, Asr. He's just sitting. Because this person had spent some time with the Arabs, he learned the Arabic language. But he had never read Quran in detail. Now when he was locked up, he said, I want the Quran. Making tayammum. He said, in 3 years he memorized Quran. But he never do it fast. He said, that first 30 days or 45 days or whatever, they never allowed him to meet anyone. But he would just read Quran, and Quran would keep his mind. He would read Quran and enjoy the meaning of Quran. He said they would call him for interrogation. Every day they want to break you. That's how they interrogate. If you ever had to go to Aqsa, then you know Palestine, when you want to enter, you have the borders. Israel is at the border. They ask you stupid questions. They'll ask you, who's your grandmother? What's her name? Your grandmother. What are you going to do with them? Then they leave you for a while. After half an hour, another person will come. You say, how are you? What's your grandmother's name? They want you to get irritated and say, like, what do you want to know of my grandmother? They don't want to trouble you. They are the stupid questions. Stupid questions. Imagine when you're in prison. But because of Quran, his mind was so strong. When they would call him to interrogate, he was so relaxed. They would ask him, what do you want? He'd say, Pepsi. So first they have to go bring Pepsi. Then he would take the Pepsi in the straw. And then he wouldn't stop, because they want him to drink up his Pepsi. So once you drink it now, no Pepsi, let's start talking. And he would just look at them. He said, 1 hour could go also. He could just say, they can't touch you. Bodily torture was finished. They want to mental torture. He said, I was mentally torturing them. He said, I played the game. He said, they told me we're going to send you to America. So he was so relaxed, like as though he's telling them, like, I always wanted to see America. So he said, they took him in an aeroplane. For 9 hours they flew him in the sky. 9 hours. How much of fuel they wasted? Going nowhere. In the sky they're telling him, you're going to go to America, they're going to torture you so badly. Talk, talk, talk. 9 hours. And his answer to them is, I always wanted to see America. That's his answer. Then they landed. They said, we're landing in Germany. There's going to be one car there. You're going to go in the car. They're going to drive you to America. So for him, like, his answer was, at least I see Germany. They landed, they took him in that black car, he's thinking, am I in Germany, it's dark at night, he's driving, 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 he comes back to his prison again. 9 hours in the sky, they tried to mental, so he told me, it is the brilliance of Quran. That they could not break my mind, brilliance of Quran. May Allah tabarakallah lift every boy. If you hafiz of Quran, I will say the sentence, if you heard, this is my jalsa, it is your jalsa of half Quran. Because Quran is word and meaning. When you already got half, don't stop. I need you to get the other half. When you get that other half, you will find your journey will carry on till death and beyond. You will enjoy Quran not only as reading. You will enjoy Quran during the day, you will enjoy it at night. You will think of this verse, you will think of that verse. Every now and then you got a problem, you will open up another, you say, I got my answer here. You came so far, 3 years, 4 years. Allah Tabarakala inspire you to go to your teacher now. It is not only for the boy who is going to become an alim that he learns the meaning of Quran. Even the boy who can't become an alim and he doesn't want to give 6 years, he must go to his teacher and say, I want to know the basic meaning of surahs that I will be reading every day in my life. And you must teach me in a very short manner. Easy manner, and in the next 6 months I must be able to translate many of the surahs of Quran. May Allah tabarakallah make that journey start for every one of you. May Allah tabarakallah let you build up with iman, let you learn Quran, and let it be the beginning of your iman just increasing. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.